So how are you doing? Nobody kicked you out yet?
Just me.
Huh?
Just my mind.
Just your mind. So that means it seems to work? No, nobody made any troubles, huh? The monk didn't come by anymore?
No. No, for me.
So that's the way to go. Well, how is your practice?
Last week was difficult.
Difficult? How?
Just difficult.
Sleepy, cold.
Agitation.
Agitation.
A lot of ideas of going to some places.
Uh-huh. And you think if you go to some place else, there is no agitation?
There is. There is.
Just the same thing.
Yeah.
And actually means that your super practice is getting going. The more, you know, the deeper you get, you know, I mean, the more agitation you will see. It's one result of the super practice. Look at the agitation. How does it differ from restlessness? Huh? Is there a difference?
Not so much.
Uh-huh. Interesting, yeah? When we look at these, you know, that's why we investigate these feelings, huh? How do they differ? Agitation, pain, anger, greed, huh? When you look at the feeling, the pure feeling, I mean, there's hardly any difference. Sometimes it's a bit stronger, sometimes it's a bit weaker. But we have so many different words for it.
Just feel bad.
Huh?
It just feel bad.
It just feels, you know, it just feels uncomfortable.
Yeah,
huh?
Uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. But then we look, you know, I mean, once we get in, then we look at the what we think is comfortable feelings. Mm-hmm. And you will be surprised how they turn out. Once we understand, you know, the comfortable feelings and the uncomfortable feelings are nearly very similar. I mean, there's no need to run away and run after anymore. It stops. I mean, his head is really heavy, his body is heavy, so I mean, it must be really hurtful. No? So how is Salavat doing?
No. But my practice is I can concentrate. It's
can you walk?
I'm walking every day, and my mind prevails.
Yeah, I mean, that is normal, you know, in the beginning, yeah? All what you do is, you know, I mean, you have to be patient, just bring it back. Then it goes away, then bring it back. Then it goes away, bring it back. I mean, that is the training that we do. Bring it back. Yeah. How long did it take you to walk? No, walking when you were little. You got up, fell over, got up, fell over, got up, fell over. Huh?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I don't remember it.
Look at it, yeah? try to remember. Huh? Go back in the past, you know, try to remember. Huh? Talking. Huh? Same thing. We tried it, you know, and it didn't work. We tried it again and it didn't work. And that is, it's the essence. If you understand, you know, it's nothing else than training. Huh? Okay. Mind goes out, okay, pull it back, okay, pull it back, and pull it back, and pull it back. And sooner or later, it will stay. Huh? The more often you do it, the longer you do it, you know, I mean, the faster it will come. Sit relaxed. Comfortable. Relaxed. Huh? It's not relaxed. Huh? The problems are not in the body. The problems are with the citta. Just go on doing it, yeah? How long are you going to stay?
2 days, 7, 10 days.
10 more days?
Yeah.
Yeah, do it. You will see it works.
I hope.
You went to study? How long did it take to finish the degree?
6 years.
See? Did you give up?
No.
See? Same thing for practice.
I see a dream today about my education.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I not pass my exams.
The lucky thing is we don't have to pass exams here. All we do is, you know, except, you know, if you want to call Sotapanna stream entry as an exam. But it's not an examination where they ask you. Eh? I mean, once you're ready, you go there. Once you've done enough practice, you know, that was what is going to happen naturally. You practice in the right way. Isn't it, Ian? Would be so nice. Okay, just do walking meditation. I mean, whatever posture is there. Huh? Just now, 2, 1.5 hours, yeah? Walking meditation.
1 hour.
Yeah. There's nothing else you can do. I mean, what is there to do? Huh? Breathing in, breathing out. And the rest, you know, of the world is, you know, made up in our minds. Huh? It's cold, I cannot walk meditation. Huh? But it's cold. Huh? Now the cold is over. Now it's getting too hot. I can't do walking meditation, it's so hot, I'm sweating. And then comes the rain, then it's too damp. You always find some reason. It's too loud, the chickens, you know, I mean. Peacocks are much louder. So, where was I last time? What do you need to know? What is that that you want to ask to know about? Nothing?
Me?
I mean everybody.
I have always questions. It's easy.
Is there something you want to know?
I don't prepare for this question.
No, I mean, if the question is not in the heart, you don't have to prepare. I mean, it's something that interests you, yeah? I mean, not just any question, yeah? Normally, I mean, a question interests you, and I mean, if you forgot it, if you have a question, you know, if you got it, then it's not important. Most of these questions, huh? Is there really hell and is there really heaven?
Well, I have not about practice, but...
Yeah?
It's more a personal question. How did you deal with your parents when you become a...
How did I deal with my parents?
When you become a monk.
Oh, that was...
Because I have a lot of trouble with my father.
is he Jewish, or...?
Not really. Kibbutz is not really a religion place.
Yeah.
I grew up, so we are by definition Jewish, but it's not by
by
the ever.
Yeah, okay. So I mean, you don't have a rabbi in the kibbutz?
We had one, but it was very unusual for a kibbutz, and most people didn't even look in. It was very like.
So, I mean, okay, what is the problem that you have with your father?
Well, every time we talk, he just remind me how I waste my time.
Oh, you waste your time?
Waste.
Yeah, waste, I understand. My time.
Basically, this is that I should be more with the family.
You're talking only about your father. Your mother is
dead?
What does he do?
This is the problem, I think.
What does he do?
Retirement.
Huh?
Retired.
He is retired. So he's wasting his time.
I know.
I mean, it's always, you know, whatever people accuse us of, I mean, it's that what they're doing. It has nothing to do with us, huh? Yeah, but there's one way to deal with a father or to deal with parent, to be here. Don't try to convince them. You can't. They are your parents. They educated you. So if you start trying to convince them, I mean, it's not going to work. So the only thing you have is to be. And they are not familiar with being. I mean, you just pick up. I mean, you learn the language of the heart. And then you listen, you know. While your father is talking, you listen to what is he saying. Not mentally, but with your heart. And then you exactly know what his troubles are. And then you respond to his trouble. If you answer him on an intellectual basis, you're always lost.
Yes. Yeah?
Because he's your father. I mean, he knows you better than anybody else. Yeah? Except for the Kiliasas, they know you better. Yeah? The only way is to be friendly, helpful, yeah? Respectful, submissive, but be with your heart. And thank him. Be grateful. I mean, that's what I did. They didn't approve me of becoming a monk, but they didn't bear my way. So they said, if you think that is the best for you, then just go ahead. But they saw that I changed, also. And this is something that you cannot prove with words, but you can only prove with being.
Well, I think this is what's most troubling, that I change.
A positive change won't trouble him. But, you know, I don't know, you know, I mean, I don't know your father. But normally a father, you know, or a parent, you know, will have the best for his children, will have the best interest for his children. So if you see, if he sees that there's something good, you know, I mean, he will realize good. I mean, what troubles him is you're going a different way and you're showing him there's a, there's a, there's another way of life. And that questions his way of life. So that troubles him. So if you don't, you know, tell him that he lives his life wrongly, you know, I mean, and just be on the way of the heart. I mean, there's a way of communication. You haven't tried it yet, yeah? Just be, you know. I mean, even if you call him, you know, just listen. Yeah? I mean, even over the phone, you know, you understand what he's, what he really wants to say. Yeah? I mean, it takes a while. I mean, the things that, you know, that are necessary is that you show your gratitude, your respect. I mean, think about your childhood, you know, how he helped you, you know, all these little things that, you know, made you happy, you know, and then just let him know. Best way is, you know, first of all, you know, is in a letter, you know, because there you have a, you don't have the input from the outside. You know? Or email, you know, I mean, whatever it is, yeah? I mean, but always speak from your heart, because you will know if it is, you know, if it is artificial. Yeah? If you just, you know, I mean, just like the people say thank you, but they don't mean it, yeah? Because it's common, yeah? Thank you very much, yeah? They don't mean it, yeah? So, I mean, when you write something, then you have to mean it, yeah? So, and how to mean, you know, it is very easy how to mean these things. Eh? I mean, you go back into the memory of that day, you know, and you bring up, you know, and you bring up the memory, and you see there's this gratefulness. Eh? Thank you for this. You know? You write him, you know, I mean him, yeah? And see how he responds. Yeah, I mean, for me, you know, it took about 7 years, you know, until the
join.
Yeah, I mean, until they really saw. Yeah? I mean, in the beginning, you know, when I, you know, you know, I mean, every parent does that, you know, or things like that, you know. I said, no. I mean, look at all these other kids, you know. Not every parent, you know, looks after his children so well, you know, and all these things. I mean, you know, we come, mostly all of us come from families, you know, where the parents really looked after us. But you know all these stories about, you know, I mean, even when you were at school, you know, I mean, how the parents beat up the children and things like that, you know it all. All happens. Huh? So, I mean, certainly, and it's certainly not bad parents, you know, we have. I mean, we start with this. Huh? And the essence is to be. I mean, what took me so long, you know, to convince him, I mean, they knew I was going, you know, to, for myself, you know, to a happier place. So, and I said, well, my mother was a bit different, you know, she said, you don't believe in God anymore, so you go to hell. And he said, yeah, well, if you think like this, you know, this hell that I'm going to, I mean, it's the most fantastic place.
You're not
a No, very Christian. My parents were very Christian.
That I said, it's not egoistic to go away from parent and go to be in your mind.
Oh, in the West it is. I mean, I don't know about in Russia, you know, but I mean, in the West, you know, if somebody, you know, decides, I mean, that was 500 years ago, I mean, it was common, very common. Yeah? I mean, if I would have turned into a Christian monk, you know, I mean, they would have not said many things, you know. But, you know, a Buddhist monk, you know, in Christian Europe, I mean, that is not. I mean, the same thing would, you know, I mean, if you become suddenly a Catholic monk, yeah?
No, I think because I grew up in a place that is very secular.
Yeah.
You always ask me, so you, what you do all day? And I mm-hmm. tell him what I do. So you ask me, do you pray mm-hmm. all day? I said, I don't pray, but this is...
You can say, actually, you know, I mean, what I used, you know?
No, but for him, prayer is very, like, unacceptable.
Unacceptable? Oh, okay.
Because so. I grew up in a place that is so okay. secular. So mm-hmm. this is why I don't use mm-hmm. the word prayer when I...
Mm. Ask him, what is he going to do after his death?
I do.
And what does he say?
I don't like to talk about this.
Do you know where he's going? What's him? What is the meaning of life? You know, I mean, just you know, I mean, you really, you know, really from this perspective, you really want to know. No? I mean, he knows if a question is satirical or if it is, you know, coming from the heart.
No, I know that I really, it's a good question. But mm-hmm. I just don't like to think about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I remember I asked my father, you know, when I was studying in the United States, I said, I mean, what is it, you know? I mean, you go to work, you come back, you know, you eat something, you drink something, you watch a little bit TV, and then you go to sleep. But that can't be the meaning of life. I mean, I was just in the process of thinking. I wasn't becoming, no way, I wasn't becoming a monk at that time. And my first trip to Thailand, you know, I mean, we looked at the monasteries here in Thailand because I was interested in the culture, you know, but I, no way, yeah? No way that I'm going to become a monk. Yeah. I love the life, you know, too much, you know, so I mean, why should I turn into a monk, you know? But then, you know, I started practicing, you know, and still, you know, I mean, there was no need to become a monk. You know, sooner or later, I mean, then I came here and it was clear, you know? It just suddenly become clear. You know? I mean, it's the way to live. You know? If you want to practice all day long, you know, I mean, that's the only way to live. You know? You have to become a monk. Because otherwise you have to hassle about the food, you know, and things. You're still constantly interacting with the secular world and I mean, that's just a hassle. You know? So if you start thinking, you know, if your heart develops, you know, I mean, you want to do that for the rest of your life, I mean, there's nothing better, you know, than becoming a monk. And if you decide 5 years later that the world is still, you know, like a big magnet, you know, it pulls you in, you know, just draws you in, you know, then you can do so. Anytime. So, I mean, it's not nothing, you know. I mean, it's not like the Catholics, you know. I mean, they have to grind their teeth, you know, because they can't pull off. I don't know if Christian monks run away, you know, and then hit somewhere. Now, they certainly found a bad hole, you know, in the sexual misconduct, you know, they behaved in. There's a tunnels under a female monastery and a male monastery where they met and buried all their children, killed the babies. I mean, that is not a wholesome thing. No, I mean, if you decide, you know, I mean, you can't stay in the monkhood, you know, then leave. And nobody will say bad things about you. I mean, actually, in Thailand or in Asia, it is, you know, if you have been a monk for a while, you know, I mean, it's still, you know, and they're highly regarded, they're highly respected, even if you disrupt them. Now, I mean, the best thing is, from here. And if he's like my father, then he is going to test you. He tests your patience.
I do.
So, if he tests your patience and you have enough patience, he will see. He will understand that there is something within you, you know, I mean, that that is good. So you just have to develop, you know, to react coolly, yeah. And you can't. You can't convince parents. They are parents. I mean, they have, you know, they have brought you up, you know. I mean, they remember the times, you know, when you're a baby, you know, that you don't remember. Huh? I mean, they've seen any kind of character, you know. They have seen, you know, how your character developed and things like that. I mean, you just can't. Huh? You can't fight with them. Hmm? It's impossible. But, you know, I mean, if you live from the from your heart, I mean, that is, I mean, that's what they have to take in, if they are good parents. And that's the only way, you know, stay at the heart, you know, see what is your father really want. Yeah? I mean, if he asks this question, you know, what does he really want? Yeah? Because that question is just a question, yeah? I mean, however he phrases it, you know, saying, I mean, you waste your time. I mean, actually, when I went and become a monk, and my father was said, you're an asocial person. Huh? I said, okay, if you want to think like that, you know, then I'm an asocial. Yeah? Before I went, you know, to become a monk. You know? I mean, let the people think whatever they want to think. If you think, you know, I mean, for them, yes, it is asocial, yeah, because they do not have the understanding of what I'm doing, yeah, and I can't make them understand it, yeah. I mean, if I bring them here to Thailand, you know, and observe them for 3 or 4 weeks, you know, how life is, you know, I mean, they will have a completely different understanding, but because of their perception or because of their education, you know, that comes from the West, I mean, they will not have the understanding. So they must think it's asocial. You don't contribute to society. That is asocial. Yeah. In fact, yeah, if you want to see it that way, that's fine. The thing is that you shouldn't put the labeling on yourself. Yeah? You know what you're doing and you should, you know, be in your heart. That's the only way. I mean, there's no good answers. The good answers are all coming from the heart. And especially be a listener. Listen to what your father says and why he says it, you know, and what kind of emotional troubles he has. And then start to answer his emotional troubles. Even if he talks about politics. Why does he talk about politics? Because of his emotional troubles inside. It's not, I mean, the politics, you know, I mean, for men, you know, I mean, it's always, you know, where they put their emotional troubles. Yeah. I mean, just listen, you know, just listen with your heart and you will understand it. That he's lonely, that he's afraid, that he's, you know, I mean, if people get old, they will start with getting afraid of death. I mean, he knows that he's missing out something. Then his son, you know, goes, you know, and starts to develop his, you know, his chitta, you know, and make it good, you know. I mean, then he sees, you know, something is wrong, but he can't, you know. I mean, he doesn't have the means to adjust himself because everybody around him is just like him. That's why you're here. Yeah, everybody around him is just like him, you know. It's the same, you know. I mean, it's the same with my brothers and sisters, you know. I mean, it's the same thing. You know? They just can't, you know. I mean, they can't imagine. You know? So is that enough as an answer? Another question? Do you think of, do you see the tendency of ordaining?
Not for me. for now. Because there is other option that is the near future might happen.
Like what?
It's some meditation place for long-term people that will open in Italy. That you can live there for just meditate.
I doubt it.
So...
And then you have to have this and have that?
Well, the vision is different, so...
Who
is a teacher that I in contact with in the last 3 years. He's someone from a, he was many years monks and then become a lay person again from USA, and it might happen in the next year because the, we found the land. Not I don't do anything, but the people that doing this. So it's actually the first time that they found a land after 7 years. So because this is my vision in the last 2 years.
So you have to build that place, you know, even if you found the land.
Yeah, but you know, you ask about my tendency,
yeah.
So my mind is like, this is my vision in the last 2 years. So. But it's definitely for practice, like in full time.
It's good.
So,
you know this monk? Or the...
I know him very well.
Was he?
He's not a monk anymore.
Was he in Nanachat or where was he from?
No, he's from California. He's...
But where was he a monk?
He was monk in India, in Tibet monastery. He was a student of the Dalai Lama.
They will be completely different. And he will become the teacher there.
Well, it don't really completely different because his basic teacher is what you teach. He was trained for quite a while in Sri Lanka after Theravada, very famous monk, Ananda Maitreya, I think was his name.
I heard, yeah.
So he was one of his first teachers. So he had... And his basic training is almost the same. Of course, there is difference, but
you
really don't like that many students go and run to the very advanced, but esoteric practice before they're doing concentration practice for a long time. So, and the place is not going to be Tibetan Buddhism. It's going, the vision, again, it's more shamatha, vipassana traditions. So, but it's just a vision, so you never know how things will. But it's very, very, actually in the first, most of the years, this is what you teach, shamatha.
Yeah.
Just in the last few years, you start to teach other things.
D'accord.
More vipassana and other teaching that he got from other traditions.
Does he teach body contemplation?
He teach the Mahasati Patana Sutta, so he teach body contemplation. But not so aggressive. I was thinking in the last 2 days why in the West people don't like it.
And?
I don't know. I think many people have a lot of trouble of low esteem. Low...
Yeah.
But I didn't get to my conclusion. I just think about this.
It's not the lowest...
I also don't like this practice. It's coming very hard.
Yeah, I mean, it is very hard, you know, I mean, but that is the one, it's the one practice, you know. When I say body contemplation leads to the first stage of enlightenment, second stage of enlightenment, third stage of enlightenment. If you don't do body contemplation, no stage of enlightenment. And it is aggressive. When you look at the Lord Buddha's, you know, teach, you know, when he taught, I mean, one time, you know, it is still in the suttas, you know, one time he taught about the body, you know, to a group of 500 monks, And then, yeah, 500 monks, you know, in a monastery is quite a lot. So, I mean, in the morning he was waking up, you know, and suddenly the monastery was very quiet. So he asked Ajahn, the Venerable Ananda, why is it so quiet? Where are all the monks? They killed themselves. They found it so disgusting, their body, so they killed themselves.
This could happen in the West, I think.
And well, you don't teach, you know. I mean, the people, you know, who want to hear about that, you know, are very few.
This is.
I mean, other people, you know, they hear it one time, you know, and they leave because they don't want to hear. It really depends on, you know, it really depends on our aspiring. Yeah? If you aspire, you know, for becoming, you know, getting out of the circle, I mean, then we are more or less willing to put up with these. Because for us it is, you know, for us it is mostly the only way, to get there. If you haven't done body contemplation in the past, and as I say, you know, most of the people who come here have done it in the past. So, I mean, it is familiar. People who don't come here, you know, might not have done. And people in the West, I don't think it has anything to do with the low self-esteem. It has something to do with the admiration of the body. And when you look at the West, you know, I mean, the only topic is body. The looks of the body, you know? And, you know, just turn it upside down, inside out, you know, I mean, and all the looks are gone. Yeah? So, I mean, the whole values are from, you know, are completely turned over. Huh? I mean, we look inside the body, you know, and we see how disgusting nature it is, you know, nobody has to tell you, you know? And they spend all their time, 95% of their life, to look after their body. To make it healthy, to make it strong, to make it beautiful, you know. Huh? Now all these plastic surgeries for women, you know. So you tell them about a super, you know, and of course, you know, that is the problem. Hmm? The clothes factory, you know, the clothes industry, yeah. Just look at it, yeah. I mean, they live off the people. Yeah, why? Because of the admiration of the body. It's not low self-esteem. Low self-esteem, you know, I mean, people wouldn't even go and practice. People with really low self-esteem, they cannot practice. They cannot even practice samatha. No, it's the admiration. I mean, we work and live for the body, yeah. We house it, you know, I mean, the house has to be, you know, I mean, it's all for the body. Your apartment has to look like that, you have to have this kind of furniture, these things, you know, it's all for the body, you know, all commodities of the body. The clothes, you know, all commodities for the body, and to show off, for the ego, yeah. And of course, in our super practice, you know, I mean, pulls down the ego, you know, from his high stand, you know. That's clear. Nobody wants that. Everybody wants to be happy, but he doesn't want to lose out on these things. Yeah? And that is impossible. Because greed and hate are rooted within this body. And that's what people don't understand. If we get rid of our wrong view of the body, and people in, you know, not only in the West, but all over the world have a wrong view of the body, they think that is something nice. Beautiful, that's attractive, you know. Except when they get, you know, old age and wrinkled and, you know. Then they don't like it anymore. When it breaks down, then they don't like it anymore. Just when you have a brand new car and when you have a very old car, you know, I mean, people look at you differently, yeah. That's the way the world looks at people, you know. I mean, it's a symbol, it's a status. Have a beautiful body, it's a status, you know. Not having a beautiful body, then you have to adore it with a lot of gold, yeah. Gold, silver and diamonds, yeah, to make it beautiful. I mean, That's the truth about it. What do you say? Yeah?
I think now it's changed about this, because now is smart people is more interesting than people who looks beautiful or something else.
Is it really that? I mean, there's a percentage of people who looks at the mind, you know, who looks at smartness. But still, most of the people will fall for the beauty of the body. I mean, look at these very smart professors. What kind of wife is there? Why do you laugh? I come actually from this, you know, I mean, from that top of society, you know, who looked for smartness, but still, the body is still important. It is always important. No matter, I mean, you don't find a woman, you know, I mean, who will not revert to the body, even if she's super smart and super intelligent. Yeah. If you say something about her body, boops, gone. Yeah. And the men, you know, are going in the same direction, yeah? I mean, you don't remember. I mean, when, 70s, yeah? I mean, how did a man clothe? It was of non-concern, yeah? No concern. How did he cut his hairs? Well, no concern, yeah? I mean, because the attributes were differently set, yeah? Now it is of utmost concern. He has to dress nicely. He has to dress fashionably. Just, yeah, I mean, and he has to cut his hair, you know, just the same way as a woman does, yeah? So, I mean, isn't that the body? You can say smart, yes. People, you know, do respect, you know, or highly esteem smart people, you know. But in the end, you know, I mean, when it goes down, when it gets into the bed, you know, it's sex, you know, it's body.
For example, Steve Jobs, you know, Steve Jobs, he don't have good clothes,
Yeah, I mean, he was my generation, you know? I mean, some people stay that way because, I mean, that. But actually it becomes also a sign, yeah? We are not with them, yeah? We are different from them. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we couldn't dress, you know, in you know, maybe we wanted, you know, but, you know, it's all. I mean, human beings are all about, you know, belonging to a certain group, you know. There's the yuppies, there's the non-yuppies, you know. You know what yuppies is, young urban professionals, but they are, I don't know what. Yeah, I mean, that was in the 80s, you know. So, I mean, I missed about 20 or 30 years of what is coming up, what is in and what is out, you know. I mean,
you didn't miss anything.
Huh?
You didn't miss anything.
No, of course I didn't miss anything because it goes always, you know, it's more. You know, what was in, you know, 20 years ago becomes in again, you know, this time. It all changes, you know, just go to a museum where you look, you know, the way of people, you know, having a haircut, you know. I mean, 200 years ago, I mean, we had it all. I mean, it's nothing new. I mean, people don't invent something new. And it's all about the body. I mean, even if the people don't believe it, you know, I mean, it goes. So we respect, you know, but, you know, I'm sure that, you know, if you have the choice, you know, if there's a very smart guy, you know, and there's a millionaire, I mean, you probably would choose the millionaire, yeah? I mean, yes, if he's not a millionaire, you would shoot the smart guy. or the one, you know, who built up his body, yeah? I mean, no matter what, you know. These are just, you know, these are just things, huh? It's all, you know. I mean, look at the people. It's all about the. It's all about the bodies. Yeah. I mean, there are the few exceptions, you know. People who, you know, when you look at their apartment, there's nothing in there. Yeah. There are some people, a few people, you know. I mean, they don't have much, and they live mostly alone, and they happily live alone. But we can't live alone. We have to belong to a group. We feel very isolated. We feel very afraid if we are not within a certain specific group. Be it the peacemakers or be it the anti-peacemakers, be it the hooligans or not, whatever it is, yeah? Be it the social status, you know, the riches, or, you know, the smarties or whatever. Yeah? We have to belong to a group. The ecos, or, yeah, I mean, I don't know what kind of groups are there. Or now that it's the group of meditators. We have to belong to a group. If we are alone, you know, I mean, we can't live on it. We get really afraid. Have you ever lived alone, you know? Somewhere in the forest, in a cave, you know? No people around, you know, you don't see anybody. For months. Then you know, how much you depend. Just on the communication. How are you? That's fine, you know. I mean, you just need to hear that. If you don't have that, you know, how do you react? Huh? I mean, the Lord Buddha not only, you know, gave us in the beginning the five objects of contemplation. They were all body objects. I listen, hair of the head, hair of the body, you know, skin, nail, teeth. He also said, you know, go into frightening places. And don't go there in groups. Go there alone. I mean, that is the only way. I mean, where do you think people, you know, where were all the arahants born? In the forest. By themselves, alone. Well, not as a bunch, you know, together, you know. In monastery just serves, you know, as a place, you know, where you can exchange, where you can get some teaching, and then most of the time then you are out on your own. So, I mean, it's all about the body, you know.
You know, teacher from the West, they come from your generation, and they got the teaching in the East. And still when they go back to the West, they decide to drop this teaching?
No, I don't think so. People who really got the teaching of body contemplation and really saw the value of it, they will never drop it. People who never got it, I mean, they just heard about it. Yeah. I mean, you can do contemplation of the body, you know, I mean, staying with that, you know, but nobody tells you, you know, what to look at and how to do it. Yeah. And most of the Western monks, you know, don't know how to do body contemplation. So when they come to the West, you know, I mean, why do they come to the West? Because of the ego. I want to teach. I want to be a teacher. I want to tell the people. Really, yeah? Don't forget, I didn't come and look you personally up and say, hey, come here, no? You came on your own. And if you don't come, you know, I mean, you can't do me a better favor. Just get out of my way.
We know.
That's a difference. If I go to the West, you know, I mean, then I want to become somebody. And that is just contradictory to what I teach you. We don't want to become somebody, we want to understand what the hell is going on. Yeah? Why do we need to become somebody if not, for our ego? A good teacher, yeah? Or teacher, a famous teacher? Yeah? YouTube teacher? Very, very difficult to find a good teacher from who is a Western.
What you do sometimes, especially in non-retreat, like a few weeks, and you have a lot of time, you feel the need that you want to share what you experience.
Yeah. So what is the need? Why do you want to share?
It's related to just what you said. It's why teacher going to teach. And I guess the longer you practice, the more you want to share it.
No, the longer you practice, actually, the less you want to share. Because you see, it's not necessary. The only question that comes, the longer you practice, there is a need for a teacher that understands exactly what you're going through, where your problems is and how you can manage them. That's the only thing. To share that, you see all the books, And what is there? It's just like shit, bullshit, It's all written there, I experienced this, I experienced that, I experienced that, What is that else than ego, The need to share something, is the need of the ego, to make itself, because it's actually, it doesn't know. It doesn't know, and it wants to hear from other people, if that what it thinks it knows, is right. And even if 100 people say, yes, 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 that is all what I experience, and then somebody like me comes in and says, that's all bullshit, then suddenly your experience is not worth anymore. Just one person needs to come, and encounter at your experience, and you're suddenly shaken. So the sharing of these things, this monitor is nobody. Not even discussing Dhamma. Dhamma is in the heart. You don't have to discuss it. That's where we have to find it. The more we go into the heart, the more we find the surety. The more we find the secure place. And once you're secure, there's no need to talk. But if somebody comes in and asks you, poops, it comes up. That's the way, to teach. Nobody comes happy. Somebody comes, asks something, poops, comes up. You just give him, whatever he needs.
But what about a monk who go away from the temple and from the Henna's temple.
Henna's? Another temple?
Yeah.
Yeah?
They they're teaching another vision.
Somebody speaks Russian?
For example, for example, you go to another place and found another temple.
Yeah.
And teaching people there. Is it necessary or it's...
It depends on the situation. Most of the disciples of Lungda Mahopo went out, went to another temple, and that's where they teach. As long as there is a teacher there, there's no need to have two teachers. You just go to another place and teach. But if there are disciples, they normally teach what their master taught them. This sharing is important, And that's where, where a lot of things come, where a lot of inaccuracy, and also a lot of ego is built up with this. Be careful. The longer you practice, if you practice for 3 or 4 months, just on your own, there's no need to share these things. If you practice correctly, if you practice incorrectly,
no,
if you write down.
You become when you start a new practice, like body contemplation. And you have a session and it's going good, then this feeling comes. But this is why I ask if
I mean,
in the long way.
Yes. But then you share it with your teacher. Yeah? And you get the input if you're still on track. Huh? But you don't share it with other people who don't know anything.
Hmm? Well, I stopped sharing a long time ago. It just created a problem with my friends. So.
Yeah, I mean, but you can't share that. You can't share the results of body contemplation with your friends. Huh?
Yeah, no.
That's impossible. Yeah. Just as yesterday, I saw how I was burned alive. You know. Huh? It's quite dreadful. Huh?
Good movie.
Huh?
Good movie.
It's a good movie. Yeah, it's an inner movie. Yeah. You have experienced so many deaths, you know, why not? Drowned, you know, died, you know, because of thirst, and so on. Went through all of these. I mean, one thing is really important, yeah? I mean, whatever you choose, wherever you go, if you cannot teach yourself, then you have to rely on a teacher. And when Venerable Ananda asked the Lord Buddha, you know, how important is a good teacher? Huh? It's 50% of your spiritual life? He said, don't say so. It's 100%. A good teacher, first of all, he encourages you. Second of all, you know, he tells you, when you go off the path. The Lord Buddha also gave it a comparison. He said, when you are with a teacher who comforts you, and there are all the things that you need, you know, and he pats you on your back and says, good, 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 you know, and then you feel really comfortable, really feel warm, yeah, and your practice doesn't go, yeah, develop further. Leave that one. If you come to a teacher, you know, who constantly, you know, scorns you, teach, you know, scolds you, and you're very uncomfortable with him, but your practice develops, even if that teacher, and that teacher will kick you out, if he kicks you out, come back. I mean, that is the advice of the Lord Buddha, you know, what shall I say, yeah? Most of all, you know, I mean, we go to a teacher where we can be friends, you know, I mean, and, but if he starts, you know, to be harsh with us, you know, I mean, we leave. Yeah. Most of the monks were kicked out by Lung Tai, yeah? At least once. They all came back. I mean, he never, I mean, I should develop also this, he never smiled at his monks. Never. He was always looking fierce at you, you know? Just like, you know, burning inside. Huh? Never smiled. Always like this, you know? Whenever you did something wrong, boom. Yeah? Pointed it out. Never in a nice way. So. But it helps. It helps us not to get comfortable. Maybe I should adjust that, you know, so that these two monks don't get too comfortable. I'm too friendly at the moment. So there's no need to practice. When we get comfortable, you know, we practice less. If there's a lot of dukkha, we practice a lot. It depends, yeah? I mean, for your choice, it depends what you want from this life. Hmm? Do you want to make the way out? Then you need a good teacher. And I don't think there's in the West a teacher that can tell you the way out. Who really knows the way out? You think? Just ask them. Do you know the way out?
I asked.
And? He said he knows? Okay.
He said they get to one single point concentration first. The same question I asked you in the first week. Mm-hmm. What you need for experimenting.
Yeah, first of all, of course you need concentration.
And I think he's the only one in the West that's saying this. So I don't see him as a teacher in the West. So.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. See,
because
you
don't say things that people like. So. No one likes to practice today concentration in the West. Like body contemplation also, people don't like concentration.
What do they practice, actually? What do they like?
I never did those retreats, so I don't know.
No, I mean, you know, if you
go... But when I speak with friends about the practice, the concentration, they said, for what? They said momentary, there is in the West, momentary concentration is enough for everything.
Ah!
This is...
That's all what
I can... But actually it came from Burma, I don't know why. But the teacher from Burma...
Oh, yes. The teachers from Burma, you know, I mean, are very clever. I mean, they teach the seven stages of enlightenment, or the seven coaches, you know, to enlightenment. And it's all mental. And I mean, of course, that, you know, if you can get your way out, you know, mentally, I mean, by sitting through all this pain, you know, and looking at the body, yeah? And for that, you know, I mean, they say, I mean, you just need to focus, be able to focus. Huh? But it's not all Burma. Yeah? I mean,
no,
in Burma,
all, but,
no.
But the,
just there's a, yeah, I mean,
the momentary concentration, way of thinking came from the teacher that come from there.
Yeah. Well, think your way out of dukkha. I mean, we already live in ivory tower. So, I mean, just remodel the ivory tower so that it fits with the teaching of the Lord Buddha, and you're safe. And you don't have to go through all the trouble, you know, concentration, you know, investigating pain, you know, getting all these unpleasant feelings, you know. I mean, when you do body contemplation, you know, where is this, why is there all these unpleasant feelings coming? Then learning how to deal with these unpleasant feelings, overcoming these unpleasant feelings. By seeing their nature, you know, seeing how they arise, you know, and seeing where they're rooted in. You know? And they are rooted in this body. You know? We'll see that. You know? But of course it's easier, you know. I mean, we are trained to think, you know. So, I mean, we are think tank. You know? We think our way out. You know? But that's not the way. You know? No.
Yeah, but I never saw other teacher teach concentration in the West for this degree.
Yeah. I mean, that means it's good. Yeah, I mean, it's good. I mean, Goenka does teach concentration. Yeah.
But little.
Little?
Yeah, like on the 10 days, it's 3 days concentration. Oh. And the instruction, they say, Kanika Samadhi, it's enough to start with Vipassana.
I never talk with him because I never had the opportunity to meet him, but I know when you talk with teachers from this, they don't like to talk so much about the high level of concentration. They just...
Because they don't know it.
I didn't want to say it because who that I know, but...
Because
it's enough.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, the problem is really, you know, with concentration, you can really get addicted to. That's really bad. And we don't want to get addicted. Lungta Mahabho was stuck in samadhi for 5 years, addicted to samadhi for 5 years, you know, before Lung Pu Man, you know, said, okay, now it's enough, get out.
How you don't fall to this... How you don't fall to this... because the more depression develops...
Of a teacher. It's addictive. But it's not bad. I mean, it's the best addiction you can have in the world. So, I mean, it's never bad. It cannot be bad. Because then you meet a teacher who pulls you out of the addiction, you know, and within no time, you've gone through first, second, and third stage of enlightenment. Because of the power of your mind. So, I mean, it's not a waste. Get stuck in the samadhi for 5 years, you know. And then do body contemplation, and within 8 months you're finished. Huh? Because I mean, it's just like you chop, you know. I mean, your meat is so, your knife is so sharp, you know. I mean, you just have to put it on the things and it cuts through by itself, through its own weight.
So why the reason that so early you start teaching your body contemplation?
What is the reason that
the reason that so soon you start to give teaching about it?
The reason is because it's difficult, because it's not taught. I mean, in the Western languages, I mean, in English, it's not taught. So, I mean, people learn here how to concentrate. I mean, that is taught to some degree in the West. But body contemplation, no, I mean, as long as I see, you can't do concentration, you know, I don't do body contemplation. But I teach, you know, because other people are here as well. They're interested. And we have to understand, you know, I mean, it's not only that, you know, the Lord Buddha taught body contemplation from the first day, yeah. So, I mean, it's not wrong to teach it, yeah. I mean, it shows us the importance, yeah? The body, feeling, memory, and association, thought, and consciousness. I mean, these are the five khandhas, these are the five fields, you know, that turn into, you know, that turn and turn around and turn around, and each one propelling the other, huh? And making us believe that there's a self. Yeah?
My question was getting out wrongly. I want to ask what the importance is to practice body contemplation before you have a good degree of concentration.
You can only do body contemplation, you know, full time if you have a very good degree of. Yeah? But you know, do body contemplation, you know, one hour a day. I mean, there's no harm in it. I mean, there's more fruit in it than harm.
Yeah, this was actually a question. Yeah.
No. I mean, if you're going to do body contemplation 18 hours a day, I mean, you need to have a high level of samadhi. Yeah? Because, you know, 1 hour a day, then you have to rest your chitta completely into samadhi before you can start, you know. I mean, you just burn out. Mm-hmm. But certain ways of body contemplation, I mean, help, you know, to get to, also get to deep samadhi. I mean, wisdom develops samadhi, yeah. I mean, you can go into apana samadhi very quickly if you have the power. I mean, if you have enough concentration, you know, to investigate properly, yeah. I mean, you can go into apana samadhi, yeah. Just by, you know, by questioning. Once you outwitted the kilesas are gone and you just fall into the apana samadhi. Yeah? So, I mean, there are two ways. It's not only one way, you know, to get to samadhi. I mean, you have to have a balanced diet, you know, to be healthy. Yeah? Mm-hmm. But for some people who cannot even concentrate, he's doing concentration all the time because he cannot concentrate. But you can concentrate already, you know, so you can start, you know, and each one is helping each other. It's not that they are completely separate things, you know. I mean, your question is, you know, just like pointed, you know, okay, when we think about the path that leads to the end of dukkha, sila, samadhi, panya. So, I mean, in the West, you know, okay, we just practice sila. Hmm? Other people say, oh, we just practice panya. Hmm? Samadhi, no. It's too difficult. Yeah?
Huh? Samadhi, no one wants.
No one wants, huh? Because it's difficult. And Westerners cannot do it. You know, that's the first thing I heard when I went to, when I came out of a meditation center after 4 months, yeah? I came to a monastery and they told you, oh, Westerners cannot do concentration. It's like, what bullshit, you know, I just did for 4 months of concentration. Yeah? But that's what they say because it's so difficult. Yeah? Now, sila, samadhi, panya are my three columns where you have a house built on. Ah, just think about, you know, one column. You know, it goes off in every direction. Think about two columns, at least it goes two directions. Three columns, it's stable. Each. The moment you develop samadhi, that means your ability to concentrate, your awareness becomes better. Once your awareness is becoming better, you see more faults in your sila. And you see other ways in panya. Once you develop panya, you get a better understanding of how your sila is broken or why your samadhi is not going. So, I mean, you do have to develop all these three, in tridem. Not tandem, tridem. All three together. It cannot be that you can only do samadhi. If your sila is not good, you will never ever be able to get into samadhi. And that's probably most of the time the case, you know, in the West. Their sila is not good, So they don't get into samadhi, and it's difficult to get into samadhi. So they just want to do panya, but they don't know panya is not knowing. By intellectually knowing or reading or, you know, acquiring knowledge, it is gathered through experience. That's the difference. So, I mean, in order to experience something, I mean, we have to be calm. If we want to understand what we experience is, we have to be in karma. So these three work together. So samadhi does help, you know, investigation a lot, but investigation helps also samadhi. You can get into a very deep samadhi, even deeper samadhi than through your concentration. When you get through investigation into samadhi, I mean it is even more amazing than when you get just through pure concentration into samadhi. There are different levels. And one of the makkah comes from this investigation. Maka is something like apasana samadhi, the path moment is something like apasana samadhi, but it goes deeper. And that's why it goes deeper, it can cut off. So, I mean, it's not wrong to teach body contemplation, especially, you know, I mean, the things that I say about the body is, you know, I mean, you're here long enough, you're here, what is the purpose of your life, yeah? What do you want to acquire, you know? I mean, whatever you want to acquire, that's what you set your mind on. I mean, I don't tell you what you have to acquire. I just give you, I give you the tools, you know, whatever you want to reach, you know, that's, you know, you just take the tools, you know, and develop that. I cannot tell you what you want, you know. I mean, you have it in your heart, yeah? If people just want to be happy in the world, you know, all what they have to do is a little bit of samadhi, you know, I mean, sila. Keeping the sila, you know, and developing the three virtues. And it makes them happy people, you know, they can have family and things like that, you know, they can be pretty happy. But if somebody is, you know, sick, you know, of, you know, being in this, what is it? How do you call these, Is it? No, you don't call them hamster. These
hamster wheel.
Hamster. You don't call them. I wasn't sure. If you're happy to be in that, you know, always thinking, you know, you're going up, you know, but actually, you know, when we look at it, you know, it never goes up. It just stays the same. If you're happy to be in that, you know, I mean, I don't mind. It's your life, yeah. I don't tell you what to do. Yeah? I give you just it. The things that you want to. And it's also, you know, why I'm teaching it, you know, because my own venerable teacher taught it. I mean, he taught only this. He didn't talk very much about samadhi, yes. Sometimes, you know, he talked about how to get there, you know, the different stages, you know. But most of it, body contemplation, yeah. And people who come here are fit for it. I mean, there's no problem. I mean, you wouldn't be coming here, you know, if you didn't want to hear that. It's not that you know, I mean, it's not that your consciousness wants to hear it. Of course, your consciousness doesn't want to hear it. But your subconsciousness, that's why what brought you here, wants to hear it. wants to hear the way out. Yeah? If you'll be able to do it, you know, that's another thing. Yeah? But more or less, I mean, you came here, you know, because, why? You know, I'm asking normally people, why do you come here? Yeah? It's the last place to come to. Yeah, really, yeah? I mean, there's nothing nice, you know, I mean, you're locked up in your room, you know, I mean, you have to work, you have to practice, you know, virtue for 14 hours a day, you know, doing walking meditation, sitting meditation, and you should not be able to communicate, you know, to each other, you know, so, I mean, what fun is it to be here, you know? If it's not for serious practice? Questions answered? And some people just answer. My angel brought me. Yes, sometimes be reminded about, you know, what is important in our life, it's not a bad idea. Yeah? I mean, it will stick. When it comes out, you know, 20 years later, it will come out again. Ah, there was something, you know. I forgot it. So, I mean, do more body contemplation, yeah? To see, you know, I mean, why is the anger coming up? Huh? Where? Huh? Who is not satisfied with it? That's how you undermine the power of the kilesas. Huh? That is their toy, the body. I mean, you can do anything. They don't mind. But you cannot destroy their toy. Have you ever seen a little child who has a, you know, love toy? He doesn't want anybody to touch it, you know, anybody to take it away, to destroy it. So, the kilesas toy is this body. Once the body is finished, you're not coming back into this world. None of these worlds, never heaven, not hell. So. And we have to die, that is the good news, yeah?
Later or sooner?
Yeah, sooner or later, you know. Don't say later or sooner. Sooner. We don't know. We just go out, you know, monastery, go to Udon, you know. A car crashes into us and we're dead. Or like I saw, you know, one time I went out, you know, I mean, I just was going to Udon, you know. I mean, they come from nearby village, you know, on a motorbike, a female and a male, you know. In the 20s, you know, trying, you know, already thinking about what they're going to buy in Udon, you know, and then they landed there, you know, into one of these, what is it, what is the side of the road? The steep?
The
gutter. Yeah, they landed in the gutter, broke a neck both. 5 kilometers, you know, they're already thinking what they're going to do, you know, what kind of fun they have. And then they landed in that. Missed the curve. Dead. Instantly. Or you fly with Air Asia, you know, in some... Or what was the other plane that was missing in Malaysia, the Malaysian flight? Oh, they shot, you know, of Ukraine? The bad Russians. If it's time, it's time, you know. We just say goodbye, you know, without, you know, really wanting it, yeah. If it's our time, the time clock, you know, that was set at our birth, the moment it says, that's when we die. Can be 50 more years. It can be just a half a year. You never know. So that's why it's important, you know, to contemplate the body and to contemplate death. Yeah? Lord Buddha said, you know, contemplating about death, you know, contemplate about dying, you know, I mean, it has much, much value. That's what they do. They do a lot of death contemplation. But I don't think they go through their deaths. That's very unpleasant. Okay, any more questions? Then let's have the last half hour for German.
Tomorrow I will be in Udon.
What are you doing?
Visa extension.
Oh. Oh yeah, you can do it now in Udon. That's good.
Hopefully no car accident in the way.
Well, contemplate tonight. Should also, you know, focus, you know, sometimes try to reach more than just upacara samadhi. Focus in until, you know, really the mind focuses in. Until it, you know, draws you in. Sometimes, you know, sometimes you really should just focus on samadhi, concentration, and sometimes, I mean, both. I mean, you want to reach up in a samadhi. Yeah? It's possible. And some of these thoughts, I mean, you can get rid of with body contemplation. If you do a lot of body contemplation, some of the thoughts we can get rid of. And that's why we can enter easily. But we do have to do this concentrated. You know? And that concentrated means not talking to anybody. You cannot reach apana samadhi if you start talking. It's impossible.
This is my problem.
Yeah. Yeah, but that then you ask yourself, why do I want to talk? I mean, just giving the answer, if somebody, you know, comes and questions, that doesn't disturb us.
Yeah.
But why do I want to talk? What is this necessary, you know, to bring up, you know, certain things? Yeah? That's what you have to, you know, that's what you have to investigate as well. Yeah? It's just comfortable, you know. We feel reassured the moment we talk. I mean, when we do contemplation or when we do concentration, I mean, ourself, you know, disappears slowly. Yeah. So, I mean, we feel a little bit, you know, itchy, huh? In a moment, you know, we go out, you know, we see something, you know, I mean, we get comfort through. And that's exactly, you know, why it's not helpful. Just look, you know, there is an inner sureness, there is an inner security. I mean, in upacara, you know, there is an inner security. I mean, you don't want to talk anymore. Because you know all these things, huh? There's nothing, you know, I mean, you're not alone. Actually, you're with all your friends there. Everybody, you know. I mean, your father, your mother, you know, may be dead or things. I mean, everybody's there. So you're connected. The moment you come out, you're disconnected. And then you try it in the old way, you know, how to get connected by talking to other people. I mean, what kind of connection is that? How satisfying is this connection? The connection in the upacara samadhi, I mean, is 100%. Huh? Outside, I mean, you get frustrated, you know, I mean, some people say things that you don't like to hear. But most of the time, I mean, you just build up your ego, you know, that's what I did, that's what I did, that's what I did, that's what I did. You know, and you blow yourself up like a balloon. And then you have to, you know, pull out the air, you know, in concentration, squeeze it out again, yeah? I mean, and that's why you don't, you know, get further, deeper into it, yeah? Just cut it out, you know, shut it off, yeah? That's why, you know, sometimes, you know, it is just good, you know, to get into a cave and don't see anybody. Yeah? But that is a very frightening experience. I took three relatively good meditators, you know, in a cave after three weeks, you know, they were going crazy. They can't bear it, you know. I mean, you can't bear this, you know, solitude, you know. Even though I was there, you know, we saw each other every morning, yeah. But still, you know, the whole day, you know, alone, you know, without, you know. I mean, it is frightening. But that is the places, you know, where we can learn most about ourselves. Huh? Okay?